Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Also, Arnie's here. Arnie's just like in the other room.
What? Well,
bring him. Bring him here.
Okay.
There you go. Wave hello.
I want to give him the middle finger.
That's fine.
Just, oh, you know, okay.
Yes. Ooh, yeah.
I geek out. It's cool.
What up, nerds?
Arnie.
Hey.
Hi, Arnie.
Hey, what's up?
It's good to
How's
see
everybody
you.
Doing? You too. How are y'all?
I got a bunch of guests.
Arnie, what are you doing out? What are you doing in LA? Just enjoying sun and fun?
Yeah, I'm kind of working with Tyler on some stuff, but also just kind of on a working vacation. So.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And doing squats, apparently. Holy cow.
Here, so strong. Here.
No, it's cool. It's cool. It's cool.
No,
I can do this.
Don't give him a chair. It's to help him in the long run.
It's true. This is good for me.
Empower the core.
How's everybody doing? Y'all look great. Fantastic. Everyone looks so happy and beautiful.
We're just Thank happy you. To see you.
Aw, this is so nice.
Because I guess I see most of the people in the school relatively frequently, but I don't get to see you much ever. So it's always nice to say hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So James just gone?
Who?
He just left?
He quit.
James,
cool.
He takes the longest of the bathroom breaks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there is a fresh child in the home.
Hmm. Yes.
That's true.
That's brand
I don't think
new.
That's an excuse for just leaving. You should
I needed to kiss my baby.
I am. Jesus Christ. Hi, James.
Slid in.
So we join the crew of the Uhuru as Denny Durf is helping the captain's council, of which Jonnet is a member, pack their bags onto a cart that is hitched onto the back of a giant chicken. This chicken, I'm going to say, is about eight and a half feet tall. It's a pretty big bird. It can carry a pretty full load as a cart. It has, you know, that normal chicken head swivel of like they feel like all of their movements are very rigid and automatic. It just seems to be randomly looking around its environment, firmly pecking at the ground with like a thunderous thump. I think there's like a little frog on the ground in front of it. It like goes down and gobbles up the frog really quick. And one or two pecks like slurps down the various legs and appendages of that frog while you are packing it up. If, and I will leave this in Johnny's hands, if Travis makes his presence as this very big coyote known to this chicken is going to freak the fuck out.
How am I going to
It is a chicken.
Stay hidden as a big coyote from a chicken.
Hey, that's on you, Johnny.
Okay.
You don't even know that this would happen. I'm just saying, like, while you've been loading it up, it has not been an issue, but it could very quickly become an issue. And I think we join as Denny and Jonnet are, like, carrying something and putting it onto the back of the cart.
Denny, Marge got huge.
Yeah, your dad. He's been feeding him that feed that he's famous for, and it's amazing.
Marge was the runt of the. Wait, do chickens have litters? I feel like the answer is no.
They have. Is eggs litters?
Is eggs litters?
Brood?
I need a shirt that says that.
Well, I mean, okay. I mean, I know he won't. He keeps saying he won't, but he's got it. He's got to sell that stuff.
Yeah, good luck. Everybody in town's been trying to convince him to start selling it.
I mean, so are you working for him full time or something now?
Not full time. I mean, I still got stuff, to, you know, around my
what stuff you got going on?
I just, you know, school and, you know, some you know, man stuff. It's not something you know anything about.
Why are Janet. You why are you flexing so hard right now?
Don't worry about it. That's why.
No, you need to stop flexing. Like
Denny's like chest and arms are like shaking because they've been flexing so hard for so long.
Have you been flexing since you walked up to the ship?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm naturally built like this.
Okay, Janet, like, you know, taps, like, hits him on the back. Okay, bud.
He almost falls over because he's so dizzy from holding his breath in that form. Just
all right. Whenever you're ready to just, you know, be, we can be, okay?
I don't know what you're talking about. You just got to watch out for I crush you accidentally with these rippling trisoids and biceps things.
Janet, is your friend quite strong? Gable holds enormous bag of hay. Like, could you take this? Could you load this off for me?
Yeah, I mean, I easily. I'm kind of with the chicken. Help me, got it, help.
Orimar kind of goes up to Gable and kind of like taps them on the shoulder with a kind of like disappointed head shake. Like, if you want a job done well, we have to do it ourselves.
Fine. He said he was strong, but Gable picks it back up and puts it over the shoulder.
Both separately. I think we both like separately pick up like single-handedly huge bales of hay and just kind of carry them around like, oh.
Okay.
Now, while this farce is going on, I would like to shift back to the back of the ship. Travis, when we last left you, you were sort of like half stuck in the human-sized exit to this massive birdcage. Have you dislodged yourself or are you still in process there?
I think I've managed to sort of wriggle out.
So you are in coyote form. You know, it's probably going to be a couple hours till sunset, but you, through like, you know, your willpower, managed to turn into a larger coyote trying to tap into the connection to your raven form. And you've ended up as like kind of a feathery winged coyote too. You have this big feathery mane. Your mouth is somewhat like halfway stuck between being a beak and being the maw of a coyote. It's not the most comfortable you've ever been, but it's a wild experience.
I think it's like kind of not painful, but like mentally taxing having to keep track of like coyote parts and bird parts, you know, because normally I'm only one or the other. So to be like, okay, well, I've got like a tail and paws, but wings, you know, it's like, I think sometimes I'm accidentally, you know, flapping a wing when I'm trying to take a step, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think we did decide that there is a little bit of Animorph style difficulty in being a changeling, and you're contending with your brain and also the animal's brain for controlling the animal parts. And now you've got two competing animal brains in there. You've got the like just a small portion of the raven brain trying to peek into the whole process, and like a more formed coyote brain, to the point where I think like kind of your wings are moving a little bit without your specific direction, and your tail kind of has a mind of its own right now.
Sure. Yeah, I think I'm gonna go out and just look. If the chicken sees me, it sees me, you know?
Yeah. I think you could like sort of round the corner sort of casually, like stretching, trying to deal with like the weird twitches that you have forming on your back and whatnot. And you round this corner, and I think first to notice this is going to be Denny. Denny, the chicken freezes, and you recognize this freeze before. This is like seconds before a sheer panic erupts. What do you do? How do you respond to that?
wait, why does she? No, no, no. Hey, Marge. It's okay. And he's like trying to pet her. She's about to freak out. I don't know what is she. Why is she freaking out? And I'm assuming I'm focused completely on Marge, so I can't really see Travis like behind me. So just what is it? It's okay. I didn't bring any feed.
How big of a coyote is she used to seeing, Marge? Just
normal. I mean,
okay. Well, then we have a problem.
Why?
I'm gonna need you to very coolly, very casually. All right, just take a breath. Just slowly, just turn your head around and meet Travis.
What do you mean, meet?
No, you need to be cool.
When that happens, Travis looks behind, but you know, behind himself, like, oh, what's going on back there?
Yeah, your body like freezes and you puff up a bit, like your neck feathers sort of like extend out, your wings flare out, and you know, you've just like, what, like, I don't think you have any skin. It's very, you've got this very weird halfway like beak with teeth, yeah. Like it's just all kind of messed up, but like you look intimidating. And I think both Marge and Denny are like in full on panic mode. Jonnet, you have seconds to respond here. What are you going to do?
Yeah, Jonnet's going to just, I don't know what he's going to do for Marge, but for Denny, he's just like, this is Travis. He is one of our good friends and part of the captain's council. He doesn't mean you any harm. It just, you've got to be.
What the hell?
No.
That's from the sea.
No. Actually, no. He's from he travels with us on the ship.
What do you keep on this ship? It's okay, Marge.
Marge is freaking out. I want to turn to either Gable or Oramar. You're both very strong, physically imposing forces here. Which one of you do we think like leaps into action as this chicken is starting to squawk and flap its feathers? It could be taking off at any second with all of your stuff and this cart.
If I may, Gable. I think as Marge is about to kind of like start running and take the cart with, Oromar remembers what he was capable of doing when he was fighting the rowdy Oz on the ship and casts a spell. He is going to use bone shaping. It has to be said that
you
way.
You have bone shaping, everything looks like a nail.
Uh-huh. And he's basically going to, like, all the bones in his left arm become, like, entangled sinew and vertebrae, like a spine, and he, like, whip-cracks the back of the rein of the Marjorie to try and keep her in place as she's, like, mid-running away. So even though he wasn't close enough to be able to put a hand on the reins instinctively, he just reaches out. And instinctively, his body just continues to stretch until it achieves its task.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Seeing this, Gable, like, okay, Captain's doing a thing. Gable goes over to Travis and just, like, sort of puts a hand on his scruff and says, "You look absolutely nuts right now. You've gotta figure it out."
Okay, I've got this. And then I look to Denny. Mm-hmm. Hey, if it's gonna freak you out that I can talk, I just won't, you know.
Yeah, no, I think talking is just the icing on this horrific cake of terror and nightmare fuel.
Oh yeah, hey, the extended arm does not look good. You can just see the just bones and sinew extended.
Well, he hasn't seen that. He's just looking at Travis.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Eyes on us.
Jonnet's gonna step in, and he's going to fashion like some horse blinders. He's just going to like.
Well, there should be griffin blinding helmets, like in the griffin enclosures.
Yeah,
so.
He's just like, all right, everybody, hold still. Denny, don't look anywhere else. I'll be right back.
Why? What else is here?
No,
said Oromar.
Eyes on me.
What did I tell you? Okay, all right. Okay, things are weird, but they're also not going to hurt you, okay? I can't stress that enough.
Smash cut to, this is on the ride to Acheron. We can see a cart that is loaded up with the Captain's Council of the Uhuru. I think with Travis probably walking along the side of the cart in his horrifying animal form, we can see that Marjorie has a griffin blinder that was intended for one of the larger griffins. You know, this is, I'm going to say Lucas's griffin blinder. So it's like kind of this fancy boy blinder that is on Marge. There's also a blinder that is on Denny Durf. But this is like, you know, 30 minutes into their ride together where the immediate horror of everything in the situation is kind of worn off. And he's just like through the draining impact of like seeing a bunch of shit that's extremely freaky, trying to catch up with Jonnet and meet everybody in the crew.
So, first, can y'all untie me? I promise. I
do you promise though?
I so far I haven't been murdered yet, so I assume that you were right, and they're not gonna murder me.
No one's gonna murder you, man.
I'm pretty sure that big dog bird monstrosity thing will kill me if I run. So, yeah,
I can assure you that I won't.
I'm not gonna test it anyway.
If you keep saying rude things about me, I might.
I'm sorry. You're beautiful.
You don't have to lie.
Jonnet, like, unties Denny and kind of pats him on the shoulder. Sorry about that. It's just, it's, he's always been able to change into things but only recently has been changing into more things and trying to figure out what things it can change into, how big or small. It's kind of cool, actually, if you just let it. If you let it be cool, it's kind of cool.
Thank you, Jonnet.
I'm not going to get too much into that because I think the less I know, the better. But
and rest assured, I can't even hold a gun with these paws.
That raises so many questions that I don't need answers to. What in the... Is this like... This is normal for you, Jonnet? What have you been up to?
Jonnet kind of looks back at the cart, sees everything going on, and then kind of gets like a small little, like, small smile, like, I guess this is kind of normal now.
Skyjacks!
Yeah.
Wait till your dad sees this. Oh.
I mean, that's what we're here for. Like, I want to show everything. I want to show, like... Everything that I've done a ton of stuff, and like this isn't even all of it. And I think with all that, John, it's kind of like processing out. Okay, this has kind of been crazy already, and so like I found a full eye, and then he pulls up his bandana, and like you can see the line of like his third eye. Like it just doesn't stop. It keeps going. It keeps coming.
His face scream, but he like as soon as he goes to like you see him kind of like bite down on his lip to keep from screaming because he said he wouldn't. But the rest of his entire face does the exact same thing as when he screams, and he's just like, that's wow. What?
Okay. So much has happened. Touched a feather, got an eye. That's the most condensed version that I can think of to tell you. But I'm part of a crew. I'm a corsair, man. Like I live in the sky. Like we fight red feathers, regularly.
All I did was grow facial hair and
looks great, by the way.
Kiss somebody. I what am
Whoa,
I?
Whoa, wait,
with
what?
My life?
Who'd you kiss?
Hold on. Why is that so important when you have extra eyes and yeah?
Hey, look.
Who'd you kiss though?
I'll be just in the like
every.
Who'd you kiss?
Everyone kind of leans in.
And he just leans towards Johnny and he's like, Rachel.
What?
Who's Rachel? Is Rachel your crush?
How did you hear me?
Gable has great ears.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it was just we were you know at it. We were at a chicken running and just we were all having a good time and hanging out and it just happened. But I mean, you're fighting red feathers
and you kissed Rachel.
Yes.
One
of these situations, one of us almost died.
Hey,
and the
buddy,
other
I'm
was fighting red feathers.
No. I'm gonna
and
let you
none
know right
of you
now.
Thought to tell me just then through the from the shadows.
Oh yeah. So I will point out. So what we're on like a dirt road that is kind of winding through the countryside sprawl of Acheron that is like slowly becoming the town. You've been able to see off in the distance the waving grasslands of the wild wheat that sort of blows back and forth and the windy steppe that makes up Acheron. You've been able to see different milleries like these large stone windmills. That have been set up. They all have like really unique and interesting designs. I think they're really colorful too. They're made with like these stones from the area that have really interesting patterns to them. And the people of Acheron like clearly care a lot about the buildings around here. Each one of them is not just solidly built, but painted and put together by a community. And like these buildings have been slowly getting thicker and thicker. And the grasses getting higher and higher. The wheat fields of Acheron are harvested kind of on a sporadic schedule, especially with the rapid changes in the seasons. They can grow up quite quickly to be higher than like human height. Like I'm going to say the grasses around you now are around like 6 feet tall. And that is why, like looking around, you did not see Zana Kessler in the distance. But I want to welcome to our show Rashawn Scott. Rashawn, welcome.
Hey guys, what's going on? Woo! It's me, Rashawn.
Yeah.
But before we jump into the story, Rashawn, I want to know for our listeners at home, when they immediately fall in love with you and your voice through this show, where can they find your work? What do you do? And where can they follow you?
You can follow me on the internet. It's very fun and accessible to most people. I'm on the Twitter, on the Instagram, at Rashawn Scott. I'm an actor, improviser, performer. I'm on a show on HBO Max right now called Southside. You should absolutely watch it. 2 seasons up right now. You can also listen to my actual play podcast called Mystery County Monster Hunters Club, which James has been our first and only guest on, and we loved having you. It's wonderful. You should definitely check that out. I'm normally at home, you know? I've just recently gotten into pottery, so.
I'm normally at home, too. I can't believe I've never seen you.
Wow.
Big house. You,
4 walls, 1 room. Very exciting, but.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I have to heartily recommend to all of our listeners, if you like this show, check out Mystery County Monster Hunters Club. Rashawn is a true delight on that show, as she will be on this show. But Rashawn, could you describe for us what Zana Kessler looks like?
Zana Kessler looks like she's 14. And has a long body. Like hasn't fully grown into her long limbs, but has you know is in charge of her faculties. She's wearing a long sort of like duster jacket, bejeweled with jewels in her hair and gold rings, and like a beautiful big like cow nose ring in the front. She looks awesome. And as she's like stalking through the wheat fields, a place in a community that she knows very well, and these mills of beautifully ornated things, she knows them because she created them herself. She is the designer of this community. And she walks up behind, seeing you all like freak out over whatever you're freaking out. It's like, why do you have those dumb things over your eyes?
Did you not see what's around here?
Zana, what?
Like, also, where did you come from?
What?
Oh, I've been out and about exploring the world, and I decided to come
back. Yes,
I was here. I When dear big brother left to strike out on his own, I decided to put all my efforts back into my community, learn, grow, strengthen myself.
Wait, Zana, no, I heard that you left, and that's like, I took your map so you wouldn't leave.
And I still left. You can't stop me, bro.
But
so now I'm back to celebrate your birthday. I've brought you a gift. And I pull out like a cart full of like all of treasures I've found along the way. These are all for you. Mere trinkets to me. Treasures to you.
I like Zana's got like pulling from the grass, like there's this sort of wheelbarrow cart that is just like loaded up with like random stuff. Some of it is like, you know, sparkly, you know, treasury stuff. Other like looks like complex machines or whatever. Like it's all of these sort of grand, expensive looking things that are haphazardly piled on top of each other in this cart.
Okay. Thank you, but I got a lot of, you know, trinkets and things. I don't need any of this. Okay.
We should take all those. Things those very
no, we're not gonna we're not gonna take these things we're not gonna be take okay.
She also, starts hello. Distributing them out to everyone else. Hello there. Hi I'm
Gable. This is Travis. He's usually a man.
So here's the thing. I've heard a lot about you. Quite honestly, I wasn't interested, but now that I've met you and sort of seen your whole deal, big fan.
Thank you so much, and it's so good that we can all be together to celebrate the young traveler. I'm so excited. I want to hear everything that you've done, brother.
You're younger than me. You're the younger. You're the youngest traveler. Okay,
in birth years, but in experience, I am more worldly than you are, brother.
Three cheers for the young traveler.
Three cheers. Hip hip hooray!
Nobody cheer me. Nobody cheer me.
Hooray!
No one cheer.
Hip hip.
Unable to still speak currently, takes the trinket that you kind of offer. He is still a hulking beast of a man. His left arm has actually already been like repaired slightly better than before. Very tasteful matte black nail polish.
Ooh.
But kind of like takes the trinket from you, and you get a moment where, you know, his hair entirely adorned with gold and bullshit, your hair entirely adorned with gold and bullshit, and he gives you the nod.
Respect.
Captain winks.
let us rejoice. Let's drink. Let's dance to celebrate your years.
I feel like. Hey Zana, can I talk to you at the back of the barrel of the wagon?
Absolutely, everyone, please forward. And I like, oh shit! I backpedal to speak with you.
Hey, here's the thing. Like, I was already kind of like of age when I left, and then I heard that you left and you had been gone. And like, when did you link up with the Tempest Armada?
Well, when I was here, I like learned a lot of skills, became kind of an engineer, and I went out.
Engineer?
Why is that so unfathomable?
It's not unfathomable. It's just fast, Zana. Like, I left, and it feels like I left, and the next day you got to work or something.
It wasn't the next day. And if you had ever written home or let anybody know how much time you were going to be away, I could have told you of my intentions. But I decided to move on with my life. I worked with the chickens. There was a trade. I got into a kerfuffle with some pirating pirates. Ended up being good friends with my new now captain, D'Antonia. She's fabulous. Everything about her is amazing. I've learned so much. And now I'm a star watcher. It's no big deal. I'm like very like in the know. And you've probably heard a lot of stories about me. Word gets around, bro.
This is gonna be awkward for you. This is,
well, you're sweating, and I just need
I'm not,
you to calm
I'm
down.
Not sweating. I'm not sweating. It's just it's something else. Because I'm a star watcher. I'm a star watcher on my ship.
And oh wow, twins! Look at us.
No, not twins. I'm older than you. It's okay. Just like it's gonna be awkward for you. It's just like so awkward that like I was kind of the first to get out and spread my wings and like get involved with like a pirate ship to do like good within the world, within Sphere, and and like you're kind of like following in my footsteps. It's
and doing it better. Oh, it's kind of hard for you. Oh gosh. And I give him a big hug. I just hold him in like a real like you need this.
Janet's like Pat, squirming, but Zahn is stronger than he.
Just give into my hug. Give into my embrace.
Three cheers for the twins.
No.
Hip, hip. Hooray!
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 Hip,
hip, hooray! Hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
Hey heroes, it's James, your game master, and welcome to the mid-roll. Heroes, we've got a lot of cool stuff coming up. This month, our dear friends over at World Builders are running their mid-year Geeks Doing Good charity drive. For those that don't know, World Builders was founded by friend of the show, Patrick Rothfuss, and they are a pass-through charity primarily that raises money for other charities. The mid-year Geeks Doing Good drive helps them keep the lights on over at World Builders. And in order to do this fundraiser, they create unique products based on some of your favorite nerdy properties, and Skyjax is one of them. This year, we are premiering two brand new Skyjax bandana designs, and we're going to be reprinting all of the old designs. So if you admired the Travis Madigo bandana, the Jonnet Kessler bandana, which I guess technically might have been given to Jonnet in this episode, or you would like to pick up the brand new Gable bandana or Dref bandana, then you'll be able to do that when the fundraising page for Geeks Doing Good launches. Be sure to watch the campaign Twitter feed, at CampaignPod, for news of when the drive goes live. There will be bundles for purchasing multiple bandanas, so if you haven't gotten any of the ones we printed before, you're going to be able to catch up quick. And it all goes to a great cause at the same time. Over the years, World Builders has raised millions of dollars for charities like Heifer International, and they do good work throughout the year. Next up, if you'd like to help me out and you like developing character backstories, you should go out and get my new book, The Ultimate RPG Character Backstory Guide Expanded Genres Edition. It has prompts, exercises, and mini-games designed to help make the process of developing character backstories easy and fun. You can pick it up wherever books are sold, and if you've already got a copy, you can help me out by leaving a review. My publisher pays close attention to reviews on the books that we get, and it helps me get new book contracts, which makes it possible for me to do this job. And while I'm loath to say their name, it is extremely helpful to leave reviews on Amazon. So if you haven't already, pick up a copy of the book over at bit.ly/RPGBackstory2, that is the numeral 2. And once you've got it, head over and give a review on Amazon, or Goodreads, or really any website that accepts reviews of books. Before we get back to the episode, I want to take a quick minute and thank some of our backers on Patreon. J.O., thank you. Russell Pace, thank you so much. Rachel Raptorix, thank you. Austin Wills, thank you. Eleanor is fine, thank you very much. Rye Fox, thank you. Nigel Stokes, thank you very much. Carmen Luminita Stansu, thank you. And also, let me know if I got your last name wrong. I'm not sure that I got it right. Aaron Parker, thank you. Deirdre Delpino Dykes, thank you so much. Fish Arqueous, thank you. Elijah, thank you so much. Rose Shepherd, thank you. Natasha D'Amours, thank you. Indy Letrani, thank you so much. Goblin Mom, thank you. Carl Stevenson, thank you so much. Leo Howald, thank you. Blue Leber, thank you very much. Tangled McCrame, thank you. And Rachel Ball, thank you so much. Thanks again to all of our backers on Patreon. Without your support, this show wouldn't be possible.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now then, with all of that out of the way, let's get back in the sky! I think there is the, like the, this chorus of cheers as you are starting
of us.
To, yeah, to, you're rolling in town, and like the cheers from the cart carry over to the cheers from the town, as we can see a lot of people in the Acheron community have like sort of come out. They're like sitting on their porches, or you know, attending to their coops or what have you, and they've taken a moment to just set their work aside and look at the carts that are rolling into town, and they indeed catch wind of one that is shouting cheers, and they join in on those cheers. And Jonnet, like, you kind of emerge being held aloft by your little sister as the town is kind of like cheering you on. And this is where I gotta turn to you, Bees. Doug, where is Douglas? Oh shit, I love Bees just sent us a link to what Douglas is, looks like.
Oh that. No, he's hot.
Oh no.
It's yeah. The worst case scenario.
Oh, no.
He's hot.
That's
he's
like
wood
big,
framed glasses. Yeah.
Big like sexy Santa energy.
Yeah. Yes, you're not wrong.
So you mean Santa.
All right, we got to put this picture in the show notes.
Hyperlink the
Bees,
JPEG.
Where is Douglas?
Okay.
And if he is here, what does he look like?
Okay. Douglas would be still in, like, probably in the back fenced in part of his yard, messing with the chickens, getting everything. He's getting everything together for the festivities coming up. He already ran through and made a he checked the stocks of everything in you know, for the town to make sure everything was good, that you know, we weren't short on anything, that we had enough surplus to go as crazy as we wanted to tonight. And right now he's just checking on the animals, making sure everybody's good. He's going through everything so that, you know, he knows Jonnet and Zana are supposed to be coming in today. So he's just getting everything out of the way so that he can relax the rest of the day with them whenever they come in to town. Pretty much as you're coming into town and you get close to Jonnet's house, you'll see a very large man at 6'6", dark skin, very muscular, but a bit of a belly, salt and pepper, neat trimmed beard with medium length hair twists, more salt than pepper, stoic resting face with hard yet kind eyes behind silver, well, the glasses themselves, the front part is wooden, but the arms that tuck behind your ears are silver. Mm-hmm. And he's wearing a beige shirt with the sleeves rolled up and tucked into black suspenders that lead down to dirty brown leather boots. And he's just, you know, right now he's got one arm wrapped around a big bag of feed. And he's just, he's right now just separating two chickens that were, you know, look like they may have been fighting, and he's scolding both of them like they were kids. And then he just stands up and just walks over and tosses the feed onto a pile of like seven other bags, and then just kind of stretches a little bit and looks out because he's starting to hear the commotion, and he looks over and sees the cart with everybody coming and notices just a myriad of weird individuals coming towards the town. So he assumes it's got to be one at least one of his kids.
I think when like Douglas gets into view, Jonnet's still being like hoisted up by Zana, and so he's like now starting to like plead with her. He's like, come on, just put me down, put me come on, I haven't seen him in a year, I don't want to.
Fine, here you go.
And then he kind of like shuffles to the other side of the wagon, like putting a small amount of distance between him and Zana. He's like, hey, Dad!
Who is that?
This booming voice calls from like the back of the house.
Dad, it's us. It's us.
Oh, Zana! Hey, baby.
Hi, Daddy. I go in.
What?
I leap into his arms. Oh, big just, hug.
Yeah, big old bear hug. Hey, Zaza, how you doing, baby?
And then, like, in the, like, the bear hug, and then you see, like, just in the background, John also has leapt, but then lands behind.
Douglas sees him jump, and then just steps ever so slightly to the right and lets him fall. Oh, I'm sorry. You look almost like my son that I used to have. Do I know you, young man?
Jonnet has to push his jaw back up. Dad, don't, come on, don't act break.
You sound kind of like him too, but obviously you can't be my son, because if you were my son, then you would have a very good explanation as to why the hell you have been gone 12 consecutive months and I ain't heard from you once. So okay. Obviously you cannot be my beautiful baby boy, Jonnet, because if you were, you'd have some explaining to do.
No, Dad, I'm still the beautiful baby boy, Jonnet, okay? I just, I am back. Okay. Can we like not get into this part? Cause I have explanations. And also, you know what? Hang on, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I didn't send a letter. No, I did not send a handwritten letter. But I sent prize money. I spent money back to the house. From Bujani?
Okay.
I think, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think this is actually something that Jonnet did.
That was one of the first things I did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of curious how this was received. Because, like, yeah, your champion winnings from, this was from the race, right?
Piora?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is for the IRPiora race. So, yeah, that's actually a not insignificant amount of money and an interesting thing. To Rashaan too, like shortly after this news of Jonnet winning IRPiora, a griffin raven showed up, a massive raven showed up in the middle of your community with an oddly dressed, like someone who is in a fine, impeccable suit that is kind of like skeleton themed, showed up. They had like a full face mask that looked like a skull that was encrusted with black jewels. And they showed up with a prize of about 1,000 gold bars that they claimed was sent from Jonnet Kessler for his victory at IRPiora. So I'm curious to see what was made of that. Yeah.
And this time, Xana has brought over like mugs of tea and we're all sitting down.
Thank you, baby. Yeah, I know you sent that bag of money. And okay, let me show you something. And he pulls out a letter. You see this? This is a letter your sister sent. She ain't been gone but 4 or 5 months. She sent a letter, not some big ass scary bird with some creepy dude on it and a big ass bag of money, which is sitting on your bed right now, because I don't know if you know this or not, but we ain't broke. We got plenty. We are fine right now. So I don't need you to send money. What I need is word that my son is okay.
The bits are the word. I'm not only okay, I'm doing well.
Who's got bits on them right now? Who's got a bit? Just one bit. Anybody?
I have a bit.
Thank you, big man. Let me get a bit off real quick. Okay, excuse me. Bit. And he's just holding it to his face, looks at Jonnet, then looks at the bit. I'm sorry, bit. How's my son doing? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yep, nope, uh-huh. Daddy roasted you. Ooh.
Really? He did that too? Oh, okay. Bit ain't say a damn thing. And he hands it back to Gable.
Susanna is embarrassed for you.
Gable puts it back in.
I didn't know it was gonna be this bad. Oh god.
I thought that sending money back home was a sign that I was doing right, doing well, doing right by y'all. I needed to strike out and claim the skies. I'm a pirate. I can see the future.
He's gonna punch Jonnet in the side of the head.
Wait, what?
Not hard, but he's just gonna punch him in the side of the head. And then grab him and pull him into a hug. I don't give a damn about money, boy. I just want to make sure you're all right and you're doing what you said you were going to do. All right? I missed you.
The fire that was in Jonnet, like, just completely goes away. He, like,
you see his shoulders kind of like do a hard sigh. They rest back down, and like he kind of stays in the embrace for a second, and then I think when Douglas lets him go, like we see that like he's like wiping a little bit of tearage from his eyes, and I think I feel like Douglas like took him in right as he was like, I can see the future, when like pulled his, and so the bandana has now just been like crumpled up and is now probably more around his neck, and he's kind of got like the eye is partially open and kind of like shining a tiny little bit.
Yeah, we see Jonnet in his father's arms. Jonnet, who carries the world on his shoulders. Jonnet, who has time after time over the last few months risked his life for his friends, risked his life for strangers that he had only just recently met, fought against forces unfathomable for what he thought was right. That has led to a burden, a tension that has rested in his shoulders and neck for months, that has drawn his chest out and his back down. Something that transformed a young boy into a young man. Pressure. Pressure that in the arms of his father, the strong arms that are so familiar, but being away for only a year, have become foreign. Allow him to alleviate that pressure for just a second, just a minute. When the two pull away from each other, Jonnet looks up at his father, not just with two eyes, but with three, staring into the face of the man who so kindly and so diligently looked after him and cared for him, loved him all of these years, raised him into the person who left home to become the man that he is now. And we can see in his three eyes, all of them, there are some tears that are being fought back.
I just wanted to make you proud.
Go ahead, don't ever.
And I just wanted to be like you. Is that so wrong? I open one of the gifts and it's a handkerchief that's embroidered.
Oh my god, the stitching on this is impeccable.
I did it myself.
What? When did you learn? When did you learn?
I am extraordinary.
You are, Zana, and like, and I've always known, and like, I feel like I wanted to get out because I knew that if the longer I stayed here, the sooner I would be being overshadowed by you, and like,
that's impossible.
Y'all hear a little sniffle, and out of his shirt pocket, he pulls out a handkerchief that was also stitched by Zana and just dabs an eye, puts it back.
Good God.
So, we're all amazing, we're all incredible, and we all should really, like, start communicating. Openly.
You've been good, Zana. I appreciate
it. Oh, yeah, I mean, I know I'm good. I'm just being this moment. I'm trying to make him feel like,
let's talk about
us
as the royal we for just... We can all do better. We can all do better because we love each other and we're going to be here for each other. And
here's the thing. I know that we're here for your birthday and now you're going to, like, catch a turkey because you're of age. I'm just going to let you know I'm going to do it too, even though I'm younger than you and I'm better than you.
Seriously,
and I'm definitely,
what the fuck?
I'm going to catch one before you.
Everybody, it's all right.
Yeah, we've already petitioned and it's, like, a big deal that
why would you
I'm going
to
do it.
Okay, you would have had to wait less than a year for your turn. Why did you
because I just want to overshadow you. That's like my whole
thing.
Okay, see,
this is the part of the communication thing that I think we should have addressed earlier when we were talking about the communication thing.
It's like I filled out the form, and if I renege on it, they're going to charge me a lot, so I might as well just do it.
It seems like you've got the bits to spare.
I'm going to exhale.
Arma has been standing in the background like implacable, stone still this entire time. And in the little soul space in between, it's been like a somebody watching like a tragicomedy in fast motion, pounding on a desk, cackling, pulling out a similarly embroidered handkerchief and dabbing away at his little spectral eyes. But the body remains stone still.
Oh, I'm sorry, Johnny. You ain't introduced me to. Well, actually, both of you are here. Whose crew is this?
This is the crew of... This is the crew of the famed Uhuru. This is Gable.
Hi, hello. I'm the helmsperson for the Uhuru, and kind of like John... Probably my relationship to Jonnet can best be described as coach. He is Douglas a pleasure to have aboard. Nice to meet you.
This is Captain Orimar Vale.
Mm.
And you notice his face goes completely, like it changes completely from you know, the emotions, seeing his kids again and everything, to just like a stone cold serious.
Mm. Captain Orimar Vale walks over to you, face similarly implacable, and signs to you, because he's not currently in a position to speak. Greetings, I am Captain Orimar Vale, and offers you...
I know who you are.
...a hand.
Have you guys fucked? Like, what's going on?
I would also like to know what's
going on. Does Douglas have stats?
Ooh.
Oh,
it depends on what you're trying to do.
Fight.
No, I love the idea of, maybe this is just the thing that only like TV shows do or whatever, but I would love like a dad handshake test of stuff.
Oh god, that's what I was waiting on. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm in your brain. Yes.
The opposite hand.
Okay. Yeah, so let's Dad handshake, yes. Test of strength.
I think I get 6 blues for dad handshake.
I don't take those odds.
I am going to say this is going to be against 3 red dice and a black die for Douglas Kessler.
Okay, so
in
you
terms
said
of
3.
Okay. So this is no. So Orimar is going to be rolling this. Mm-hmm. So representing Douglas is going to be 3 red dice and a black die.
Oh, okay. 3 red?
Wow. Dad handshake test.
Jeez.
Black die. I only have 2 red.
Yeah, I think this is like, I think roughly the same, because I think for a dad handshake, my understanding is that this would be brawn based, and Orimar's got like 4
brawn.
I
do have 4.
So
brawn.
Like, I don't know if you're using a particular skill.
Skills aren't cross compatible, so I can't do like a coercion brawn.
I would allow it. I would allow you to take your ranks in coercion to combine them.
Oh, that's a leadership handshake. Brawn. That makes more sense.
Oh, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I have 2 ranks in leadership. So I have 4 green dice inherent, and then 2 of them upgrade to yellow if I have 2 points in a thing.
That is it. That is
cool.
It.
I understand the game that we have been playing for what feels like 6 months.
Again, I can't express to you how much of a miracle that is.
Sick.
Oh, yeah, you beat me right to it, Nathan. That's why I was waiting.
I mean, I am like surrogate dad figure meets actual dad figure. Yeah. Makes them fight. They just boot up Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and do a 1st-to-10. Let's go.
We return once again to the long line of prospective applicants in front of the skyship Uhuru. We see someone come off the line and place a headshot and resume on the auditioning table before our very large, at this point, crew of audition proctors. Rashawn, would you like to describe this person for us?
You are standing in front of Dr. Coretta Anise. She is in a crisp pantsuit, like starched to the point where even if she was soaked in water, there's no way it would lose its crispness. She has resumes in matte, matte glossy, matte light glossy, matte ultra glossy, whatever that you need. Like
matte ultra glossy is the best.
She's got one of those wheelie luggage like briefcase things and is set up for a whole presentation. When she lifts the arm of it up, a screen goes with like a PowerPoint presentation, like a deck. I'm like, these are all, hi, I'm Coretta Anise. I'm here to lift the image of your dusty, derelict ship. Don't you want improvements at half the cost?
Derelict?
Half the cost of what?
Exactly. Half the cost of what? What does a pirate do? I come from the corporate world, and I was told that it would kind of just be mapping over what I normally do. As she's frantically going through the PowerPoint, like, boats float, right? And you want to stay afloat above the competition at all times. Is that not correct?
That's a good point.
Okay, I'm back on board now.
Yeah.
All right.
Go on. Now,
with my skills, we can be afloat and be a menacing presence. Let's say we put painted flames outside the boat, so it looks like you're always on fire and ablaze. You're always fiercely running towards obstacles.
Okay, now we are talking.
It's very cool.
Maybe... Mirrors so that they can see the terror in their eyes as you approach. Or sparkle, something cute.
So, Bob,
is this the kind of stuff you guys usually like do on the ship?
Oh yeah, this is every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. We got a lot of people that want to join the ship.
It's the majority
of our
time.
And they always seem to find us. No matter where we are, they show up.
So then this is probably why you have anywhere between 7,000 to 3,000 crewmates on the ship at one time.
Honestly, eventually we will find the rest. They're just hiding somewhere in the ship. Well, okay, but I had a question. So are you here to sort of revamp our image?
Yes. You would consider me sort of a JPEG consultant. I take groups that look a little dusty, a little dingy, and I elevate them. Again with the dusty. It's just the air is very thick in here.
Excuse me, my son is not dusty. All right? All right, you take a look at this young man right here. All right, look at that. That is a model citizen right there. That boy is good right there. Look, clean. Brush that off.
Yeah, yeah. I do see the dust, though. Yeah.
Well, I'm saying it could be dust. It could be a dusting, something. You know, we could change the language a bit. From just looking at you initially, I see dust, but it could be, you know, glow. It could be shimmer.
No,
but that's my job. I'm a spin doctor in a way.
We needed fresh eyes in the ship because it's kind of like you go nose blind with a smell. You don't notice the dirt until you have someone new on the ship and you realize, oh no, it's gotten so bad in the time that I have just become used to it. So
I'm pretty sure I don't have a sense of smell, actually, thinking about it now.
Hold on.
Spit? There's too many of us here. You need to go.
I know. Now, I just heard this applicant describe themselves as a spin doctor, and I just think that's the way.
I heard the same thing, and I was really ruminating on that. As one of, I'd say, two princes on this ship, I was also ruminating on the phrase spin doctor.
Look, one, two, kneel before me. I understand that. Two of you, both interrupting our wonderful guest's presentation. So please, take a seat.
Gable, now is not the time to throw a tantrum.
No one knows that one.
If you've got something to say, just go ahead now, okay?
Now, if you'd hired me, we could turn this squabble into a franchise. We could make money off of this. Taking your little squabbles, the things that you don't like, and amplifying them to be something glorious. If you don't like smells, we can get rid of the smells. It's that easy.
That's pretty easy.
That'd be like mopping a floor, opening a window, something simple like that. You know, I'm more of a common sense doctor in a way as well.
I had a question or a scenario. So we recently attacked a large red feather syndicate ship, and they're the big bads
what?
in And well, I'll tell you about it later, Dad. We attacked a large Red Feather Syndicate ship, and we stole all their goods. And now there's a bounty for our ship. How would you necessarily spin that into a positive?
I would spin it in such a way that these resources are being redistributed to the needy. A very Robin Hood, steal from the rich, give to the poor, but actually giving to ourselves. You know what I mean?
Wow, she had a PowerPoint for that.
I go,
there were so many slides.
So many.
I have pictures of all of you in like men in tights sort of situation, like very Wait, Robin Hood.
How'd you get a picture of me?
How'd what? You get a picture of my dad?
She takes a picture and uploads it, the most current photo. Oh. Go,
the technology you have with you is absolutely astounding. Where do you obtain that sort of thing? A PowerPoint? You were saying I am in the search of being able to point myself towards more power. So where are you obtaining these resources?
Well, I am my own boss, and then I work for another boss who every month I give power to, and they distribute that power to other powers, and it's able to allow me to have this moving screen.
Oh, so so this system that you have has multiple levels.
Hmm.
Wasn't that
an infinite amount of steps?
Okay. I was on board, but now I'm a little afraid.
Okay, I mean, so that's a no from the gentleman there. But anyone?
If you look at it from what you showed us, it kind of arcs up in like a triangle, mm-hmm, if you will. So I think as long as we work our way towards that top, then we have less people to worry about. So
and
I think
look at all
I
the people supporting us below.
Yeah, and exactly. A lot of people below us holding us up like a foundation.
Yeah, and we've already got so many people on this ship that could be our foundation. We know all the people that we would ever need to know to get up and like start moving upward.
Yeah. I know I've done my job when you've talked yourself into the idea.
I'm in.
And it's firmly established to me that, you know, I'm a big fan of MLM. So let's do this. Let's go for this.
As someone who has started many a scam company, I have to say, I am uncomfortable with this. You have to be the one starting the company. You can't be the one joining the company.
Well, it's a good thing this isn't a scam, then.
Somebody who has got a larger arc going on about how I'm handling power, I'm not sure if I'm a fan of this particular. This feels like I am maybe being the enemy here. I've become the person that I hate the most if I'm fulfilling this particular structure. Yeah.
Well, Dr. Anise like flips to the last like slide, and it's like a poll of like, are we doing this or not? And you've been empowered to vote at this point.
Oh, is that what these clickers are for?
What?
How? Oh. Mine has a dial.
Okay, seriously, you are a sorcerer.
I don't have my clicker.
No, I have
I thought it was a different thing.
Why do I have two now?
Oh, what were you?
Oh, you shouldn't touch that one.
Uh-huh. Disgusting. Anyway, I'm all in.
It's stuck to my hand.
We've got one.
I'm in.
Well, as both a prince and what I consider myself to be a Little Miss Can't Be Wrong. That's another Spin Doctors song. I vote no. And since I can't be wrong, I suppose I'm right. So that's probably a blanket no for everyone.
That's
It's probably going to be a no from me, but if I give you two bits, can you tell me the name of your tailor? Because...
Oh,
and he, like, goes over and, like, flicks, like, the padded shoulder of this suit that you're wearing.
And,
kind of, like, vibrates like wobble board. It's so stiff. Immaculate.
And I slip you a card. There you are. It's embossed.
A no from the captain counts as 40 or 50 no's, which
what?
Is also coincidentally another Spin Doctor song.
Really?
So, that 40 or 50. Yes. Okay. It seems that that's going to be a no from us, but thank you very much for joining us and for your sorcery.
And they power down the PowerPoint and like hitch up, like take back all of the resumes, stack them up, paperclip them.
No, I like that. Oh.
No, you want it? Back then you didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all on me. Who? Mike Jones.
She knows the prophet.
I've studied the text of the prophet, Mike Jones.
Oh my god.
Magical.
Johnny, this is still stuck on my hand, Johnny.
Oh yeah, no, that's gonna be with you for at least a month until you give it to someone else.
Well, can anybody just tell me what time it is, at least? That was a Spin Doctor song. God.
Campaign Skyjacks is a One-Shot Network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter over at CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing. In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more. You can find more great gaming shows over at oneshotpodcast.com, like Skyjack's Courier's Call, an all-ages-friendly actual play podcast set in the world of Sphere. Skyjack's Courier's Call follows 3 teens as they set out as new apprentices aboard an airship with the Swiftwell Courier Service, bringing mail and adventure across the world. Featuring Drew Merzieski, Palomi Pertap, Aaron Kitano-Saez, and Ali Grauer, and using the Cortex Prime system, this show is perfect for anyone just getting started listening to actual plays, and veterans of the tabletop genre alike. Join clever but anxious Kieran, bold, fast-talking Cece, and the loyal and strong June aboard the Red Audrin ship as they sort and deliver mail, encounter powerful magic, and learn the proper skills of an Erriner along the way. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight. Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Tyler A. Dave. You can stream his short film, Lining, on the Roku channel for free. Just search for The Shortlist. Summer. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @LizAnderson_... or on her podcast, Paired. Travis Madigo was played by Johnny O'Mara, who can be found on Twitter at @JohnnyNBriefs or on his podcasts, Bill Buds and Dilettante Ball. Captain Oromar Vale was played by Nathan Blades, who can be found on Twitter at @PhantomArtsENT. You can also find them streaming on twitch.tv/TheNeonCaster. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at OneShotRPG or on my other podcast, OneShot. The original music featured in this podcast was written, composed, and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find him on Twitter over at @ArnePArrott. You can find more of his work at atptunes.com. This episode was edited by Casey Tony, who can be found on Twitter at Casey Pony, or on his podcast, Neo Scum. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at Fiona Pup. The World of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists, and Illimat, produced by Together Studios. This show uses a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system, designed by Sam Stewart and a team of talented professionals who were fired by the private equity firm owning Fantasy Flight Games. And once for our friends near Rise,
twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.